Hello and welcome to Synopsis, your weekly roundup of news and analysis from OMFIF around the world, coming to you from OMFIF headquarters here in the City of London. I'm Julian Fraser. Today we're discussing a European reset on climate change, the possibility of the ECB cutting its inflation target, and the signs pointing towards an impending global recession. All that, and more besides, coming up next. And welcome to this week's edition of Synopsis. The stage is set for a significant green policy realignment linking Britain and the European Union after the UK election on 12 December. The opportunity has moved closer following a seminal shift in German politics at the weekend, wrote OMFIF chairman David Marsh. The Social Democratic Party, junior coalition partners in Chancellor Angela Merkel's government, chose as leaders two comparatively little-known left-wingers. This hastens the demise of the lacklustre grand coalition of Merkel's CDU-CSU conservative grouping and the Social Democrats, and will probably speed up the arrival in government of Germany's Green Ecology Party. The shift opens the way to possible elections in Germany in early 2020, with Merkel replaced as Chancellor earlier than autumn 2021, the date for the scheduled general election. In view of a surge of the Greens and the collapse of support for the Social Democrats, the most probable new coalition government in Berlin is seen as an alliance between the CDU-CSU, under a new leader, and the Greens. In the UK, Boris Johnson and the Conservatives have held on to their polling lead and are around 9 percentage points ahead of the Labour Party. In contrast to the previous general election in June 2017, when Labour rebounded by 15 percentage points in the opinion polls after the election was called, this time there has been no major swing in favour of party leader Jeremy Corbyn. Andrew Adonis, the Labour peer and former minister under Prime Ministers Tony Blair and Gordon Brown, points to constitutional issues behind Labour's discomfiture. He believes that making choice of the party leader a task for party members rather than MPs has reverberated electorally against Corbyn. This heralds considerable internal bloodletting if, as appears probable, the opposition crashes to defeat next week. Some analysts and governing council members of the European Central Bank are calling for lowering its inflation target of close to but below 2%. They suggest reducing it perhaps to a band of between 1% and 2%, or making the target more flexible and achieving it over the longer term. Lowering the target would, in the opinion of OMFIF's Mark Sobel, be ill-advised, and would only buttress the euro area's current deflationary bias and intensify challenges that smaller member economies face. There is no perfect inflation number, but in seeking an inflation target that does not distort economic agents' decisions, most advanced economy central banks have opted for around 2% per annum. The call for reduced targets belies recent economic debates that urge higher targets. Higher nominal interest rates associated with higher inflation provide more scope to cut rates when economies are impacted by shocks and recession, without recourse to unconventional monetary policies. Leaving to one side the arduous debate about interest rates, the euro area should do its utmost to spur growth. The periphery must do far more to bolster its performance. Risk sharing can only move forward if there is risk reduction. Continued strong monetary accommodation is necessary. But national politicians and authorities, rather than focusing myopically on the entrails of ECB policy, should find ways to use fiscal space where feasible, as well as support the monetary union by creating a centralised fiscal capacity, re-examining the excessive complexity of fiscal rules, cleaning up decrepit national banking systems, and enhancing banking and capital markets union. US economist Hyman Minsky never tired of warning that extended bull markets always end in epic collapses. The prolonged period of exuberance that financial markets are now experiencing would surely make him shudder, wrote long-standing contributor Desmond Lachman. Despite the clearer signs of gross global credit misallocation and the serious mispricing of credit risk, markets and policymakers seem remarkably sanguine. The possibility of a violent repricing of risky assets, which could lead to large strains in the financial markets, is apparently far from their minds. Their complacency is surprising, particularly in the light of early warning signs, and many factors point towards a global economic recession. According to the IMF, whereas 75% of all countries were experiencing economic upswings in 2018, today 90% are suffering from slowdowns. With the world economy already slowing, one might have expected markets to price in at least some possibility that the continuing quagmire in Hong Kong might precipitate an escalation of the US-China trade war. Markets seem to be ignoring, too, some probability of a hard Brexit, an oil price shock resulting from US-Iran tensions, or the possibility that Democratic candidate Elizabeth Warren, who has called regularly on Congress and regulators to mitigate the threat of a downturn, might win next year's US presidential election. People frequently quote Minsky's warnings about extended bull markets, but The Economist also taught, just as importantly, that markets have short memories and habitually delude themselves into believing that this time will be different. Judging by today's market exuberance in the face of mounting economic and political risks, it seems Minsky is soon likely to be proved correct again on both counts. On the OnFIF podcast network, David Marsh recently spoke with Kenneth Clark, a fixture of the House of Commons and Conservative Member of Parliament for almost 50 years. They discussed the surreal circumstances that have changed the face of British politics since the Brexit referendum in June 2016, and the likely outcomes of the impending general election. You can listen to their conversation on the OnFIF website, or wherever you get your podcasts. The year may be drawing to a close, but monetary policymakers are busier than ever. 19 central banks will convene next week, including the ECB, Federal Reserve, Banco Central do Brasil, and the central banks of Iceland and Turkey. And that is all for this week's edition of the OnFIF Synopsis. To read in greater detail about what we've discussed, visit www.onfif.org. And if you'd like to receive our editorial output and details about forthcoming meetings, sign up at onfif.org/subscribe. I'm Julian Fraser. Thank you for listening.